Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, February 12th, 2018. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm pretty good. I had a weekend with the HomePod, so, you know, happy to be here. Thanks awesome. For having me.
Awesome. So glad you were here and that you have a HomePod, because it'll make it a lot easier for us to talk about since you have one.
It's true.
Yes. And from the Mac cast, Adam Christensen, how are you?
I'm doing great. I am wonderful.
Cool. It's great to have you here. And I always enjoy when you have time to come join us, especially since you too have a HomePod. So,
yeah, I may have one.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Well, since we all may have HomePods, I think it's time to start talking about exactly what our first impressions are about this thing. So we all got our HomePods on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing the setup process for you guys went just as non-eventful as it did for me, where you just got your iPhone near the HomePod, and the next thing you know, you're listening to music.
Setup was
pretty much.
It was super easy. It was that Apple experience. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was surprising just how simple it was. I've seen some people on Twitter saying, "So here's the first song I played on my HomePod." I have no idea what the first song was that I played. It just started playing music, and that's that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what I first played on it either, to be honest. Well, the first thing that came up was that awesome sort of startup sound. Like once it's set up, it makes that great. Yeah. Apple always has great like initial chimes.
And oh man,
that was like, almost sexual. Caught me off guard at first a little bit. Yeah, it was kind of nice.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I do have one thing. Did you guys have yours delivered? Because I did the in-store thing. Which I don't often delivered. Do. Yeah. And so what surprised me, and I don't know what this, I don't read anything into this other than I found it interesting. So I was at my Apple store when it opened at 10 a.m. I got there a little bit before opening and, you know, there was about 20 people or so milling around outside. And then they came out and said, okay, well, if you're here for, if you're here for pickups, go over here, you know, to the left. And if you are here for repairs or something else, go to the right. And like all 19 people went to the right.
So you were the only person there to pick up a HomePod.
Yeah. On launch day. Again, I don't know what that means. Everybody else pretty much was there for a battery.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense. If you're not there to buy a HomePod, you're getting a battery in your Apple Watch or in your iPhone.
Your iPhone. Yeah. So anyway, just interesting.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. My assumption is that most people that were getting a HomePod for launch day
had it delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I pre-ordered, obviously, but I just chose in-store pickup because it was an option. And I wanted it as early as possible.
It's a small data set, to be sure. I guess I can't really back this up with numbers. My impression is that that a lot of people have gotten a HomePod.
Yeah, mine too. Yeah, again, I'm not reading anything into it, but like even the staff seemed a little bit surprised. They're like, "Wow, you're really the only person here for picking up a HomePod." You know, again, just interesting.
Well,
I'm not worried about Apple's sales of HomePods. I don't think the product is doomed. I don't think it's a failure of any sort based on all the reviews and my own personal experience. So,
right. And you being the only person when the store opened to pick up a HomePod doesn't mean you're the only person that was picking one up that day.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
Yeah. But I'm sure someone somewhere is going to take that single data point and conflate it to to Apple is doomed. Let's give the money back to the shareholders.
I will say there were two other people that showed up just a few minutes later who were there to actually check it out, though. So I think there's a lot of people driving into an Apple store to look at one and to listen to one. And I really would encourage people who are, you know, thinking about HomePod to do exactly that if they have the opportunity.
Yeah, this ain't the hi-fi.
Oh, this is not the Apple hi-fi. Nope.
Well, and also that, and again, this is good for our conversation here today, too. is the fact that audio is so subjective. So, you know, if you're not like crazy like us and just willing to buy whatever Apple sells sight unseen just because you want the cool new thing, if you really are like, am I going to like the sound?
Huh? Wait, what? Not me.
Okay. Well, I'm in that camp. Sorry to lump you in there. The point is like, you want to go in and listen to it, right? You want to make sure that it has the kind of sound that you're going to like. But I think what Apple did here, you know, my one of my first impressions is that the sound profile of the whole thing is sort of in, I don't say this in a negative way, it's set to the broadest audience I think Apple could come up with. Like, I think most people are going to enjoy the sound. Huh?
By what you mean, it's too bass heavy. Most people like bass. Most people like bass. They like bass. They want to hear the bass.
No, no, I know that.
They think that the bass is the bomb. The bomb dandy. I think that's what the kids say these days, right?
It is. I'm only shying away from that it's too bass heavy thing again, because I think it's really subjective. And it also, I think, will give some people this impression that the bass is overpowering everything else. Yeah, and it's so far from that.
In addition to it not being the Apple hi-fi, it is also not a pair of Beats headphones, which which I like to say are like, you know, dragging your music through a mushy swamp of oatmeal.
Yeah.
But I do find the sound profile to be heavier in the bass than I want, but it sounds good.
Right. Well, what I've been saying is that it really has a large bass presence, more so than like it's like just booming and the bass is drowning out everything else.
Correct.
It is, the separation is unbelievable.
The separation is fantastic. Mm-hmm. It is not a case where your TV or your music is being drowned out by the bass, or being, it's, you know, where it's just completely right, overpowering it whatsoever. I will further add that I cannot believe how good HomePod sounds at the lowest volume settings.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm totally with you there. We were talking about that earlier, because I have people in my household who don't really enjoy music played out loud. So I've always had to listen to my music at relatively low volumes. And for most speaker systems, even like my Sonos.
What kind of a den of communism do you live in?
I know.
Like music being played out loud. What's going on there?
Yeah. Oh, hey. It's half and half. We're a 50-50 household here. There's two of us that do and two of us that don't.
So what you're saying,
in being respectful of those people. Yeah. In being respectful of those people, you know, I often listen to music in my office at relatively low volumes. And sure, and the problem with other speaker systems is that means you miss a lot of detail very often.
Yeah. Most powered speakers have some kind of sweet spot.
Right.
Volume wise, where, you know, where it's going to sound the best at a particular volume level. The HomePod sounds, it just sounds great, super quiet. And of course, you know, it sounds great, super loud too.
Yeah. It's really crazy. Yeah. And amazing. It's really almost magical, because I can have it literally most of the weekend. I was listening at 10 to 15% volume, and I didn't feel like I was being deprived of the sound of the music.
So on the bass thing, what I found is that it depends on what type of music I'm playing, if the bass felt right, like it was too heavy. So when I was playing like classic rock, the bass typically didn't overpower or become more prominent than I wanted. But sometimes it did. When I was listening to classical, never had a problem with it. When I was listening to jazz, it was usually fine, but occasionally there'd be a piece where it just felt too heavy. And then as I was trying a bunch of different other genres, that's when I really started seeing weird things with the bass. So when I tried ambient music, you know, that kind of electronica, lighter, you know, more mellow ambient thing, the bass was so overpowering that I mean, it was weird. It was like I was just listening to this heavy rumble, and then there was some other sound with it, sort of thing. I mean, it was like way too heavy. So it was, for me, the bass was a mixed bag, but I would really love to be able to say, yo, S lady, turn down the bass.
Right.
And,
yeah. Apple has kind of come out and said that what they are doing is that they're using the technology in the HomePod based on each individual track and adjusting all of those things to sort of supposedly match the profile of what's being played as best that they can. You know, who knows the mojo science they're using behind that to determine, you know, this song should have a bigger bass presence or versus this song shouldn't.
Sure.
And maybe they need some tweaking to that algorithm, because I would agree. You know, there are certain instances where you might, and again, this just depends on your listening preferences, but where you're like, hey, it'd be nice if I could just tone down that. And that bass just a hair. And it was never, again, to me, so bad that it was terrible, but it was like, yeah, it'd be nice to knock the edge off of that. Just mm-hmm. a nudge. Right.
Yep. Now on the highs,
amazing.
The highs. There were points where there'd be like cymbals playing, and in my place. Keep in mind, I live in a place that was built in, I believe, 1915. So my doorbell is a literal doorbell, and right. there were several times over the weekend where I'd hear a piece playing, and there'd be a cymbal. And I'd get up and walk over to open my door before I realized, wait a second, that wasn't the door. So that that to me was pretty impressive. Also mildly confusing.
Yeah, they're amazingly crisp and clear. You know, I commented, I think, on Twitter or something like that, that there's a lot of music that I listen to that I've listened to for years. And now with the HomePod, I'm hearing things, especially in the highs, that I never have heard from any of the other speakers in my house. It's like stuff that I didn't even know was there is coming through. And I think that's a testament to kind of the separation of the sound that I'm just not getting with the other speaker systems in my house.
Yep. Totally get it. Yep. Brian, I think I cut you off a little bit earlier.
You did.
Oh, well, feel free to say what you're going to say.
Let's see. I think I was going to say something along the lines of something about the bass. It was something about maybe being able to. I wish Apple gave us some detailed controls over the EQ for sure. Now, Andrew did a piece for us talking about how if you're streaming music from your from an iOS device, you can use or your Mac, actually, you can use the EQ that's built into that device.
Right.
But that doesn't help with music that's being streamed by the HomePod from Apple Music servers. And I also I think my biggest usability complaint is how it can only be connected to one device at a time. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, in my situation, it's now my Apple TV speaker, and I'm extremely happy about that. But then I will go play some music, say over my phone, especially while I'm doing testing, mm-hmm. right? I go to play some music over my phone or from my phone, and now I have to reconnect it on my Apple TV, which includes leaving whatever kind of app that I'm in. In Apple TV and going back to the settings and resetting it up, going back to the app and resuming play. There's an A8 processor on this thing, right? It seems like Apple should be able to, even if it can only play from one source at a time, it should be able to remember those sources and be able to intelligently adjust it. Like, I stop playing music on my iPhone, I go back to my Apple TV, I start watching TV again. It seems like the HomePod should be clever enough to say, hey, I should probably handle that.
You know, you can see that in action on your iPhone. If you are playing music, like just streaming from the HomePod, and then say go to Spotify and want to AirPlay from Spotify, you get a dialog that pops up and says, hey, do you want to switch what's using the HomePod? So why not do that on your Apple TV? You turn it on, you're ready to start playing, and it says, hey, something else is using HomePod. You want me to take that over?
Yeah, or even, I know this is crazy, but like be able to actually handle audio from two different streaming sources. I mean, you know, again, crazy stuff, but yeah. Well. And this is the sort of thing that'll probably come with software. I made the observation today in our daily observations meeting that, or excuse me, our staff meeting this morning there are going to be a lot of things coming in HomePod unless HomePod becomes abandonware, which right. Apple has done over and over again. I don't think Apple's going to do it with this particular product, but with that caveat, there's going to be like so many of the things that we have nitpicked about today they're going to be fixed. We're going to have those EQ controls. We're going to have the better controlling of what device can go where. We're probably going to have some kind of better ability to be able to reset the thing without having to actually do a hardware reset, for instance.
Right, to change the Wi-Fi network.
Wi-Fi network, right? I mean, there's going to be a lot of improvements that are coming, and they're probably going to come relatively fast. We'll probably get a slew of things announced during WWDC for HomePod.
Right. I think that's reasonable. Yep.
Yeah, I think even bigger things like multi-user support and potentially even third-party app support, although I think that may be further out. I kind of see Apple taking an approach like they did, like they do with a lot of their products, like iPhone, where, you know, they sort of keep it in their ecosystem for the early adopters and sort of the first round. And then as they play out that group that they're selling to, then they start expanding the ecosystem. Just like we saw with iPod, it was Apple exclusive for a period of time. And then they opened it up to Windows at some point. Right. I think we're going to see a very similar thing with the music services.
I bet you're right. And I bet you're also right that it won't come quickly.
Yeah. I don't think that piece will happen this year, but I could see it happening in 2019, you know, at Worldwide Developer Conference. And now, you know, third party audio apps are here's an API.
Oh, another thing. I have found HomePod to be excellent at listening to me.
Oh,
I was
the Siri
just
experience.
About to ask about that. Yeah.
Yeah. By far the best I've ever had on anything.
Yeah. I'm able to talk to in the one room where I've got it set up. I'm able to talk to the air. Like, you know, our regular listeners have been hearing me whine and complain about this for a while. In my particular unique, extremely unique situation, HomePod is actually solving the one thing that I wanted HomePod to solve, which is the ability to talk to the air to control my limited smart home features. And that includes, by the way, I did a test where, so the way the room I've got this set up is set up, the door actually kind of it leads out from an alcove because, you know, like imagine the closet forming an alcove for the door leading out of my office room. Right. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And so when I'm about to go out the door, my point is that I'm essentially in a little alcove within this room. I was facing the door and instructed the S lady to turn out my lights. And she did it. I was faced away and I was about 10, 15 feet away and she handled it just fine. The flip side is, I said something kind of quietly last night, and I was very surprised when she didn't hear me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my experience with the S lady has been very similar. So right now I have the HomePod set up, so it's not like completely in the corner, but it's kind of in the one corner of my living room. And so when you walk away from it, the only direction you can go from this thing is away. And I was on a phone conversation last night, and I tend to kind of walk around when I talk on the phone. Mm-hmm. And while I was wandering around on this conversation, I left the living room, walked down the hall, walked into my bedroom, and I'm like in the middle of my bedroom, and I made a comment about the S lady. And I heard my HomePod responding to me, and I was talking in a normal voice, and I was literally as far away from the HomePod as I could possibly be and not be outside.
That's good.
My experience has been the same. Good.
The flip side is I'm not excited. I am not excited about the fact that she doesn't really seem to care who's talking to her.
Yeah.
To wit, I was watching videos on YouTube of people setting up. Oh, I know what it was. Yeah, I was working on John Keith's unboxing video, mm-hmm. and then someone else in John's tech group did an unboxing video for us too. And every time they would speak to their HomePod on this video, my HomePod was responding. And that lack of discernment is, I hope that is a thing that comes with software. I mean,
Alexa, if
Alexa can frickly do it.
My A-Lady does it incorrectly too. And
yeah, no, she doesn't have that ability. As far as I know, people have said that.
Oh, is it Google's device that does that pretty well?
Might be.
I'll have to test that, Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, please. No. You please.
All right. So I was going to add an example to your experience. So Allison Sheridan from NozillaCast, she put a video online over the weekend where she showed herself talking to her Echo and her HomePod and how they responded to each. And what she was doing was asking each of them to play her podcast. So I'm playing this on my iPad in my living room, and as the video plays out, the Echo, which she is talking to first, my Echo responds and gives me the same response that she got, which is that it can't find the podcast. And then when she tells her S Lady to play her podcast, my HomePod started playing her show.
Huh.
And that was from a YouTube video.
Yeah.
So, but it's not just Apple with that problem. Same thing with my Echo.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Fair enough.
Apparently, Alexa can detect multiple voices, according to reports. I've never tried it, and I don't know how to set it up. So,
yeah, and I think that applies mostly to personal things, like if you're using the A-Lady with your calendar.
Right.
Yeah, which the Google Home, so Google Assistant will do that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, Apple can do it on our iPhones for sure. I mean, no doubt, because after training my iPhone, my kids can't, you know, make the S Lady do anything, which is wonderful. And
yeah,
there's no reason with the same processor, the same operating system, same technology, even better technology in terms of the microphones in the HomePod. I don't understand why that's not possible.
Well, it
may just be a timing thing.
It's not the same processor as your newest phone, just to point that out. But
yeah, but I mean,
plenty of processing power to handle it. Processor.
Yeah. I think a lot of this feels like it's just we had so much, you know, time to get so many features in, and Siri was a really late add to this, as far as what I've heard in the mill, mm-hmm. so to speak. So. I don't think they've had as much time to finesse Siri. I mean, they spent six years reportedly on developing the speaker technology. I think it was far less time, you know, at least maybe a year, maybe 2 years with the Siri stuff and probably less. There's a lot of debate about how long it was. So I think it's all coming. And I think you guys are right. I think it's going to come very, very quickly, the improvements. But yeah, unbelievable. I mean,
Hold on, Adam. This is important.
Okay.
Everything that we want is not coming quickly. Some things will be coming quickly.
Yes.
Right. We're going to be getting a relatively quick flow, a stream of improvements and new features being added to HomePod as we go. But it could take a couple of years to get even most of the features that we want to see in this thing.
Yeah. I'm hoping there's a hierarchy. There's definitely a hierarchy of needs that need to happen. High on that list, I think, for a lot of people is just the weird one of multiple timers not being supported. Just odd. There's little odd things like that that you're going, that's interesting that feature didn't make it.
Yes. And we saw the same thing with the original iPhone, where features that seem very simple, like copy and paste or print, weren't there.
Oh, and those took a long time.
Those took a very long time.
Longer than you would have thought. Yeah. So Fair point. So, fair point. I just want to say one quick thing before we move on from the, you know, Siri, because I didn't talk about, you know, my experience with Siri activating. I don't live in a large house, but I have my office and its door sort of leads out to a short hallway. And then there's our living room. And my family has become thrilled because they can now use the HomePod in my office, speaking at a normal volume to control, again, our HomeKit stuff. So it's not even in the living room. It's in a completely separate room through a wall, and it still works. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. Yep. But before we wrap up, even though I've let us run over, I'm curious if you guys are glad you bought your HomePod. So, Adam, how about you?
Oh, yeah, I'm super thrilled. I've already commented that I think this is a similar experience to what I had with AirPods, where I thought I didn't need them. I thought they were too expensive, but I got them anyway and then have never regretted the decision. And right now, HomePod's feeling like that to me. The caveat that I'm going to throw in there is, of course, I'm all in on Apple. So, mm-hmm. you know, like for me, that just seals the deal. But yeah, totally love it.
All right. How about you, Brian?
So I love HomePod. I still believe that Apple is missing the plot a bit when it comes to HomeKit support and this being a HomeKit-centric device, and the product line needs something inexpensive to compete with the Dot to make your so you can cover your home, your whole home inexpensively. So, right, I love HomePod, but that doesn't mean that all my complaints and whines from before it was released are somehow invalidated.
All right. And for me, I'm glad I have my HomePod. I'm really enjoying streaming music from it. And yet, I don't think it's going to get me to unplug my Echo, because my Echo is still much more capable as a smart home controller than my HomePod is. So it looks like I'm going to live in a homogenized household where I have multiple voice assistants depending on what I need to accomplish.
Wiretap. Excuse me. Sorry. A little cough.
Yeah. Well, now, Brian, you're in the wiretap game too.
It's different though.
And I love how you justify that.
It is substantially different. It is substantially different.
And yet you're still in the wiretap game.
It is substantially different.
I think that's going to be a whole nother.
The same way at all.
Daily observations.
Yeah, we're going to have to come back to that one. So the awesome thing is, Brian, I just have to leave you hanging with this argument. We'll just have to have it later. Adam, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
It has been a lot of fun. Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Mm-hmm. You'll pay.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. And it'll be totally worth it. Listeners, thank you for being here. And if you have questions about HomePod, let me know. And we'll be addressing those as some have been coming in already. So thank you. And yep, we're going to get to them. You can leave me a message on Twitter at TMO Daily. You can send me an email, observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments in the show notes. I'll check all those places and we'll run through your questions and see if we can get you answers for all of them. So thanks for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.